It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we are dedicating the next hour to looking at the issue of homelessness in Tuolumne County. We're pleased to be joined in the studio by a pair of experts on the topic from ATCA, the Amador Tuolumne Community Action Agency. We're joined by the director, Raj Rambab, and the housing resources director, Tamara Dockstader. We welcome both of you into the show.
Thank you.
Well, the first thing I want to ask is, Mr. Rambab, as the director of ATCA, I know you have somewhat of an extensive background working with other agencies as well when it comes to the issue of homelessness. So what can you tell us just about your background and what you know about this issue?
Well, I've always been engaged with the homeless since being a young person. I had an uncle that was actively involved in Washington, D.C., and went to various things with him. And then in adulthood, primarily got involved in El Dorado County, helping co-found the first homeless shelter in the county, and did that for a few years, and that morphed and grew into various things. And then in the Bay Area, ran an interfaith collaborative family shelter for about 6 years, and have just been immersed in homelessness in general for about the last 15 years.
Homelessness, is it a growing issue across the state of California right now?
Yeah, it's huge. In particular, family homelessness. The fastest growing demographic in homelessness are children.
And Tamara Dockstader, what is your role at ATCA in relation to homelessness?
I'm the Housing Resources Director, so we have two shelters. We have one in Amador County and one in the city of Sonora. So we're actively, you know, dealing with homeless families. It's a family shelter and individuals that need to come in. They have a limited stay. Hopefully they get jobs and find housing. And also we run programs for rapid rehousing. It's a HUD-funded program that helps people that are chronically homeless get out of homelessness and get into housing.
You know, how do you count and measure the homeless population?
HUD requires that we get funded by HUD, and they require that we do a point-in-time count every other year. And so we get volunteers and our collaborative partners like probation and the law enforcement to go out in the streets and count the homeless population. In saying that, it's only as good as the volunteers. We recently were funded for a summer pit count. Got many, many volunteers. All of our numbers aren't in, but the dramatic difference in the number that we're going to be able to show, probably the true number and canvas the entire county, will be, you know, hundreds probably over what we normally count.
You know, what are kind of the most recent statistics then when it comes to homelessness? Do you have any figures you can share?
We, in 2017 count, our count was 198.
And that was in January.
And that was in January. But there's far, I mean, this summer homeless count is, I think it's going to shock people. I think it's a bittersweet number. You know, you want the number to be there so you really understand the problem, but you would really wish that it won't be as high as it is. One statistic that I can pull out is over the 3 years that we did it, 2015, 2016, and 2017, we captured 10 children with families. This particular point in time count this summer, the school districts helped us. We found 61 children. That's a huge difference. You're comparing 3 year figure to a 1 day figure.
That's a real eye opening statistic.
It very much is.
You talked about how the summer statistics may be higher than the winter statistics. Is that due to the weather? Do people kind of migrate out of the area during the winter?
I think that's part of what the county supervisor, Sherry Brennan, was trying to figure out, if we have a lot of people that move in. However, we're finding the preliminary counts are, we don't have a lot of people out of town. These are the same people. They're the fabric of our community. They've lived here for years. And I think it's going to surprise people that's really the true number that's here in January. That's here in the summertime, too.
I think one of the an important differences, as Tamara talked about, Sonora Area Foundation, at the request of Supervisor Brennan, privately and locally funded this summer pit count, which freed us up from certain HUD mandates and allowed us to be more flexible. And Tamara did an incredible job of recruiting and equipping volunteers to go out. So we had a record number of volunteers. And as you can probably surmise, the more volunteers you have spread out throughout more of the county, the more accurate the count is going to be. So although there is a drastic difference between weather in the summer and the winter here in Tuolumne County, I think the vast majority of the homeless that are in this summer count are also around in the winter. They've just been harder to find, partly because of terrain and partly because of smaller volunteer numbers.
Yeah, you mentioned the need for those volunteers to help out. Is it a challenge in and of itself just to find all the people across the county?
Yes, it is. But law enforcement really helped us in that those efforts because they know where they're at. And our volunteers actually found a brand new camp in Jamestown that nobody was aware of, including law enforcement. So there is a lot of good lessons and a lot of good information that will come out of this count.
Do you find that most of the homeless population does kind of congregate together at camps, so forth, or are they spread in other areas?
Many of them do. Some are very, very solo and want to be alone, and you will find a lot of those. We'll find somebody that will actually allow them on their property to stay. But as you know, BJ, the camping ban in the city of Sonora went into effect last Friday. So at some point, you'll see law enforcement having, you know, they have to do their job and they're going to have to go in there and ask people to move on. So they will splinter out. A lot of them do congregate, but there's a lot of them that we probably even did not get in this count because they do not want to be counted or found.
What is kind of reasons people don't like to be counted or found?
Many of the reasons are probation violations. They have a reason not to be found.
I also want to ask you a little bit about, do you get a sense as to why there has been an increasing homeless population, you know, not only here in Tuolumne County, but also in California in general?
A lot of it that we're finding is, I just went to a Envisioning California conference last week. Most of the speakers were, in fact, all the speakers were from large metropolitan areas, San Diego, Los Angeles, Sacramento. And they said the largest growing number, like Raj mentioned earlier, families and first-time homelessness. And it's there. So many people are living one paycheck away from homelessness. So you hear that comment, and it's true. A lot of people, if they lose their housing because the home gets foreclosed on or the rental gets sold, it is nearly impossible for them to turn around and have the money then to get back into housing. So the number has grown so much with those families because of injury, illness, loss of a job, or loss of housing.
When you talk about homelessness, what would kind of be the general definition of homelessness? Is it simply somebody who doesn't have a permanent residence?
Depends on who you ask. One of the things, I'm a big fan of how the Department of Education defines homelessness. I think that gives us a truer picture. Housing and Urban Development, HUD, their definition is very narrow. And so, for example, if you have a 19-year-old who's couch surfing and has no real stability, may even be living in someone's garage, they're not homeless according to HUD. Whereas with the school district, the Department of Education recognizes that things like couch surfing and other transient type situations, whether there's a roof or not, can be counted. So it depends on who you ask.
And Raj, besides doing the counting and the census, the homeless population, what are kind of the services that ACCA provides for homeless residents?
Well, you know, Tamara mentioned the two shelters that we operate, mm-hmm. plus the other programs. One of the things that she and her staff do really effectively is case management. And that is working with all of the individuals enrolled in one of our programs to hear their stories, find out what their real needs are at the moment, and try to connect. If we don't offer the service directly, connect them to people who do offer the services. Because of the history of ACCA's program, there's a lot of relationships with private landlords, people that have rooms to rent. And so there are moments where we can get a little creative. The goodwill of this community is pretty strong. And I think that's a big reason why we're we're as effective as we have been. Still not as effective as we want to be, but we do pretty good work.
Hearing from people who are homeless in the community, do you hear, you know, what are kind of some common reasons as to why they no longer have a home?
The reasons are as varied as we are as people. I would say the two that to me are themes with variations. One is personal tragedy, and the other, and that could be health, death, divorce, other issues, and then financial tragedy, a loss of work, a business failure. And oftentimes, a personal tragedy will result in financial tragedy as well. And then there's a spiral, because I think if most of us can relate to personal and or financial tragedy and can think about the safety nets we had in our families and our local communities, and without those, I think any one of us would spiral downward pretty quickly.
I assume there's probably a lot of people in the community who don't realize it, who are paycheck to paycheck, right on the edge of, you know, having to be homeless.
That's right.
And we're talking about homeless on this week, homeless issues on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio by ATCA Director Raj Rambab, as well as Tamara Dockstader, who is the Housing Resource Director for ATCA. And Raj, for people who aren't familiar, I should ask you at first, you know, ATCA, what exactly is the role of ATCA in the community?
Well, ATCA, the origin point was 30-some years ago, and Amador County and Tuolumne County, neither at that time had the population to apply for certain federal dollars. And they created a JPA between the two counties to form a community action agency to be eligible from a population perspective. So we, homelessness is one thing. We operate the food bank here in Tuolumne County. We do energy, weatherization, low-income assistance, youth programs, suicide prevention, drug prevention, child abuse prevention. We also have Central Sierra Connect, which is a California Public Utility Commission regional consortia for broadband, bringing broadband into the community. So we cover a lot of different territory, but essentially when there's a need that isn't being met, ATCA is an agency that can help address those needs in some way.
So your funding that comes for things like shelters and for the food bank and so forth, does that come from the state or federal government then?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not coming like it used to, but you know, we have enough. Another point that I think is important for me to make as executive director is Tamara has had to weather through some pretty significant cuts and loss of staff. And what she and her existing staff have done is they've been able to maintain a high level of service. So we haven't reduced services to our clients, but each individual staff member is doing about as much as they can. Any further cuts, and there will be an effect to services.
Being on the ground and looking at this issue, I know you're involved with the City of Sonora's Homeless Task Force. You're involved with Tuolumne County as well as Amador County, you mentioned. Are all the different counties and entities, you know, taking action at this time to look at homelessness?
Yeah, it's this kind of weird and wonderful convergence where both counties are going, we need to do something. And where they're looking primarily is in the arena of drop-in shelters, where folks who need a place to crash for the night, a safe place, can find a place, has much more volume or much more capacity than our current shelters do. And we're looking at a couple of different models, pretty low cost, low bar of entry models in both jurisdictions. So I'm hopeful that I think if we keep at it like we have been, we're going to see something within 12 months.
How about the City of Sonora? Where do things stand with their task force?
We just had our first meeting, and we have a couple more scheduled. And I think the group of people at the table is a very good group of people. I don't think that task force in isolation is going to be able to do much. But that task force in relationship with the county and various providers in the community can do some pretty good things.
We're going to take a break. We're talking about homelessness in Tuolumne County on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by Raj Rambab, who is ATCA's executive director, as well as Tamara Dockstader, who is the housing resources director for ATCA. I'm BJ Hansen. I'm your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we'll be joined in studio by the new forest supervisor for the Stanislaus National Forest. Jason Kiken was recently appointed to the position. We'll hear about his vision for the agency and looking ahead. Again, that's next week on Motherlode Views. We'll return with more of our conversation on homelessness in just a minute.